Father, I thank you, Lord, for our gathering again today. God bless everybody that's here. We give you glory and praise. We thank you. As always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that that light will shine into our hearts this morning. Praise the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you give us an understanding. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to understand what the Spirit is saying even today to the church. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to continue on this topic of promises of rest, peace, of quietness, of assurance, and of rest. And yesterday we focused on healing, health, and wellness. A few more promises that I wanted to cover in that regard. And today I'm going to read a few more scriptures to us regarding that, and let's talk about it. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about it some more. In the book of Exodus, chapter 11, we're told in verse 7 that the Lord puts a difference between his people and the rest of the world. And you might remember this story in Exodus when God was trying to get his people out. Pharaoh was being resistant because the Lord was also hardening his heart. And a lot of signs that Moses had to throw down. But God made a statement. He said, "There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it anymore. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog wag his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." I want us to consider that statement as we open with that this morning. The Lord puts a difference between his people and the rest. And that's important for us to know how God values his own people. It puts a difference. Things may be happening all around us, to the rest of the world. But, God is going to put a difference, help us. I remember the year that pandemic broke, the COVID pandemic, that is. I think 2020 or so. It was every end of year and the start of the new year, I try to listen to the Lord to see what he's going to say to his people and come out and declare it at the church. And I remember that year, the first message of the year in 2020, the Lord gave me to come out there and declare that there was going to be great distress upon nations, but that the Lord was going to put a difference between his people and the rest of the world. And we talked about all the plagues and different things that were coming. I, that time, hadn't even heard of the pandemic. It was the first Sunday in 2020. We declared the word of the Lord just like he gave it anyway, that and that there was coming gross darkness and that the people would suffer many things, but that God would protect his own. Well, a few months later, we started hearing about COVID and all that, and we kept reminding ourselves of that word that the Lord said he will put a difference between us and the rest of the world. And to the glory of God, God did protect his people just like he promised. Now, this scripture, I find it very relevant that no matter what's going on in the world, we continue to trust the Lord, you know, for his protection and for his blessings. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 24, we talk about the kingdom of God. I mean, we've talked about the kingdom of God quite a bit on this platform and some of the benefits of the kingdom, especially, you know, this one here that says that those who are there, those who are where? Well, those who are in the kingdom, you know, shall not say, I am sick. Now, that's a good scripture for us to claim. You know, we've talked about the king and his kingdom, his reputation, etc. The reputation of the king, you know, can be measured by the welfare of the citizens. You know, how well the citizens are doing is a reflection, of the reputation of that kingdom. And in the kingdom of God, one of the things that God wants us to enjoy is flourishing health to the point where he doesn't even want us to be saying that we are sick. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 33 and 24. The inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. Yesterday we talked about, you know, how healing and forgiveness of sins tie together. You know, sometimes sin is a blocker. In fact, every time sin is a blocker to the things that we want to receive of the Lord. You know, the story of Jesus telling the man of the palsy that was laid before him, you know, he said that thy sins be forgiven thee. You know, that was the first thing that he said. And then everybody said, well, why is this man blaspheming? Blaspheming like this? Who can forgive sin? You know, when Jesus perceived their hearts, well, he asked a question. In fact, let me read that story to us in Luke chapter 5. That's an interesting story. When they brought people to him, went through the roof and all of that, sought to lay him before him. And then when Jesus saw their faith, we're told in Luke chapter 5, verse 20, he said unto the man, was taking out the palsy, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I mean, why would Jesus make such a statement? Again, I want to piggyback on yesterday's lesson. Why would Jesus make a statement of thy sins are forgiven thee? You know, they are trying to get the man healed, but Jesus is talking about your sins are forgiven you. And because that's so important, you know, once we have the, you might call it a clear runway, then you can take off. So Jesus wanted to clear the sins first, the sins and everything that may be a blocker. And you know, that also prevents us from having boldness before the Lord. In the kingdom of God, the devil will try to block our access by reminding you also of your sins, of the things you've done wrong. You know, so, and once you have that consciousness, which we've dealt with on this platform, call it sane consciousness, then you really can't get very much from the Lord. So the Lord wanted to get that out of there, first of all. And so he said, "Thy sins are forgiven you." And then the people thought, well, why is this man saying this? Who can forgive sin but the Lord? But God, well, of course, they didn't know who was standing before them. So Jesus asked the question, why do you reason such things in your heart? Which one is easier? That's to me, for me to say to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee, or for me to say to the man, rise up and walk. Okay, let's think about that. You know, you can say thy sins be forgiven thee, and nobody can see anything happen. So we don't know whether anything happened or not. But if you say, rise up and walk, and the man doesn't rise up and walk, and that, then everybody sees that, you know, you're just talking to the air. So Jesus said, well, I mean, it's a rhetorical question, but the answer really is, it's actually easier for me to say to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. I mean, that's easy to say. But you think I shouldn't be able to say it. He said, well, because you think so in your heart, and knowing that it is actually a whole lot harder to tell this man, crippled man, to get up and walk, he now turns to the man, said, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sin. I'll show you something else. So now he turns to the man of the palsy. I say, I say unto thee, in the presence of them all, arise, take up thy couch, go into thy house, and immediately. You know, I love the way that Jesus always did things. And immediately the man rose up before them, took up, and they were all amazed, took up his couch wherein he lay. And they were all amazed and glorified God and said, wow, we have seen strange things today. Well, the power of the Lord in that place was, we were told, was present to heal. And Jesus heals us. We heard about James chapter 5 telling us yesterday that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if you have committed any sins, you know, so we see that there's a relationship there that needs, you know, need to be gotten out of there. If committed any sin, the Lord will forgive him, shall be forgiven. You know, so that he can be able to keep his healing. A few weeks ago or several weeks ago, we did the subject of how to keep our healing. And all those things are important. Today, just want to remind us that it is God's good pleasure to heal us, forgive our sins, everything. The psalmist also tied them together, those two things. In Psalm 103, he tied it together. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth thine iniquities and healeth thy diseases? So you see, he tied it again together. So it is incumbent on us to know that we have dealt with whatever displeases the Lord when we are trusting him for healing. And how do we deal with that? I've talked about two levels of obedience. We see that in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. There are two kinds of obedience when it comes to confessing our sins before the Lord. And we must pay attention. It says that, you know, whatsoever we ask, such as healing or any other thing. And I'm going to talk a little more about all the things. We heard it at the end of the room yesterday. All the healings that God can bring to us. Not just physical healing only. Whatever we ask of him, we receive of him. One, because we keep his commandments. This is 1 John 3:22. And two, we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, and he went on to tell us what the commandment is. Well, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And secondly, to love one another. He gave us a commandment. Now, so keeping his commandments, I call the active obedience. Because he's commanded something and we keep it. So we are actively obeying his commandment. Two, doing what is pleasing in his sight. I call that passive obedience. You may or may not know what he has point blank commanded on the subject at hand, but you choose to do what you believe is pleasing in his sight. And that's a giving up of our will. You know, you may want to do something. It may or may not have been commanded for you to not do it. But Holy Spirit may let you know it's not pleasing to God. And then you give it up. So, and when we live a life where we actively keep his commandments and also do what we know is pleasing only in his sight, well, we're guaranteed that anything we ask, we receive. And I love the anything we ask, we receive kind of thing when we're talking about promises. Anything we ask, we receive. Well, because you do these things. And Jesus himself, one day he made a comment about, you know, his relationship with the Father. And how that the Father is always with him and he's never alone. Why? Because, you know, let's read it in John 8:29. See how Jesus said it. And these are the things that we also must apply to ourselves. He that sent me is with me, Jesus said. The Father hath not left me alone. Why? Because I do always those things that please him. So we see that this is important for us to do the things that please the Lord. It gives us the, you know, the boldness to receive whatever it is that we are asking of him. Now, when we talk of healing, we want to talk about healing in all areas. Towards the end of the lesson yesterday, discussions were being raised about healing just about every area of our life that is crooked. The Lord said, I will make straight the crooked places. If there's physical healing needed, the Lord can do that. If there's emotional healing needed, he talks about healing the brokenhearted. Can do that too. You know, he can. And every kind of oppression from the devil actually needs healing. We see that in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, where the scripture says how that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So that means every kind of oppression from the devil needs healing. And healing can, you know, cross into many dimensions. Physical illness is an oppression of the devil. Emotional illness is an oppression of the devil. Heavy burdens, oppressions of the devil. You know, oppressing spirits, they are, you know, oppression of the devil, obviously. All kinds of yokes that the devil tries to bring upon us. And God has a, you might call it, anointment for each of those things. You know, that's, you know, that's why you will see that when Paul was talking about the gifts of the Spirit, there are many of them that were singular, but a couple of them were plural. Diverse kinds of tongues was plural. And the gifts of healing were plural. Among the power gifts, so-called, you have the gift of faith. you have the working of miracles, and you have the gifts of healing. Plural. You didn't say gift of healing. Because there are healings in many dimensions. Various things that need to be healed. Physical illness is just one of them. Everything that's not going right in our lives needs healing. Yesterday we heard in the room of how bitter waters were healed. You know, how God healed different things that were even beyond just physical illness. And so that's very important for us to know. In the book of Isaiah chapter 61 verses 1 to 3, we see how the Spirit of the Lord gives anointing to heal various things. You know, various kinds of things. Whether it is physical illness, he can heal that too. Whether it's other things. Let's read all the things that the Spirit of God gives anointing to heal. And this Jesus, we spoke about the other day, quoted this as his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Well, that's another healing right there. Proclaim liberty to the captives. You know, that's healing right there. If captives are oppressed, Jesus said, you know, Bible said he went about, you know, healing all that were oppressed or devil. Opening of prison to them that are bound. That's another kind of healing. And so on and so forth. You know, all of these things, Holy Spirit gives anointing to heal. Praise the Lord. So whatever we need, the Spirit of God gives the anointing to heal. Yeah, yesterday we read how Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would bring us healing. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And the same scripture was quoted in 1 Peter 2 and 24. But whereas Isaiah was looking forward and prophesying about what Jesus would do, Peter was looking backward and affirming what Jesus had done. You know, in 1 Peter 2:24, he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. Isaiah said, by whose stripes we are healed, because that was yet to happen. Peter says, by whose stripes ye were healed, because that's already happened. Now, so if we were already healed, I was being questioned in this room the last 2 days, we were already healed. You know, why then are we sick? So that's kind of the things that we've been talking about. You believe for your healing. The scripture says you are healed, yet the symptoms exist and remain. And yet the situation remains. Well, there is some proper understanding that is required. Proper understanding. These promises that God gives, if we don't know how to get what is ours, we may get nothing, even though we are entitled to, and these things have been bequeathed on us. There is the story that we commonly call the prodigal son story. And in that story, I'm sure everybody knows that story, the father had two sons. And I want to talk a little bit today, you know, about the older son. In Luke chapter 15, from verse 11 down, you can read the story. But the prodigal son is the one we focus on most of the time. Well, let's talk a little bit about the elder son. The elder son, since the father had two sons, and the younger one came and said, Father, divide unto me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and so forth. And the man gave him, and he went about, you know, and so forth. Now, since he only had two sons, well, what that means is that everything left belonged to the other son. You know, so, but the other son, I mean, he was good, obedient, doing the will of the father, and so on and so forth, you know, but didn't actually understand that all the things were already his. So, and we see his complaint when the younger brother came back, and he was angry that his father would take the fatted cow. Fatted cow is the one they prepare for occasions. They feed him well and everything like that, prepare him for occasions so that he can kill and, you know, you have, you know, a lot of meat and so forth. And he was angry, you know, when he was told what was happening. And he said, well, you know, I have been your son. I've been the one obeying and, you know, and everything. All these years I've served you, neither transgressed I any time at thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Now, let's consider that with regard to kingdom principles. Yeah, this man, this young man says, well, I've been righteous. I've been doing your will. I've never transgressed anything, but yet, you didn't give me anything to celebrate with my friends. Now, this your son. Yeah, guy is so angry, he wouldn't even acknowledge him as his brother. This your son who had devoured your living among harlots. The moment he returns, you killed him, the father's cow. What about me? And it might surprise you what the father responded to him. But it's also a revelation. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Tell him, you could have taken that fatted cow at any time. All I have is yours. You could have taken it. You didn't take it. You didn't get it. Now, that's a challenge to us. There's a lot of things that God has already given us. We need understanding of how to enjoy these things and how to even retain them. You could be there complaining and asking questions. God will tell you, I already gave you these things. You know, God has principles. And, you know, out of his mercies, he may, you know, bend over backwards sometimes to tell it to people who are new, who are just trying to come into the kingdom. You know, but once you get into the kingdom, there are principles the kingdom operates by. And God doesn't do anything in the kingdom. It's already done. It's just like that. Put it out there. You got to figure out what the principles are, you know, and how things work. And once you figure it out, then you know it. If you don't figure it out, you might be there saying, well, why is God not healing me? Why is God not doing this? You know, why is this and this? And God may say, well, son or daughter, all that I have is yours. But if you didn't take it, well, that's on you. But I've already done it. Peter said, well, you're already healed. Well, if I'm already healed, well, that's, you know, the question then is, why then, you know, am I sick? Well, God said, don't say you are sick. We read that in Isaiah 33 and 24. Don't say you are sick. You know, so I shouldn't say, well, but I am sick. You know, I mean, is this a mind over matter kind of thing? Lord said, no, it's not that. But yeah, how things work in the kingdom. When you are sick, you say, I am healed. That's what you say. You don't say I'm sick. You don't say I have this. And some people say, you know, I have COVID. I have this. You don't have that. You open your mouth to say, then you have it. You know, now it might be better for you to say, you know, you might have been diagnosed with this and this, but you don't have it. Let's not claim it as our personal property. And you say, I have a headache. Well, that's your personal property then. You know, you say, I have diabetes. Well, that's your personal property. I have this, I have that. Yeah, well, you're claiming it. But Isaiah 33:24 tells you, in the kingdom, you don't say such. You say, I am healed. You don't say you are sick. You know, well, it is true that you are sick, but there's a difference between facts and truth. Now, the fact may be that there's an ailment in your body, but what is the truth? The truth is that you have been healed. You know, Jesus in his prayer in John chapter 17, he was talking about, he said, you know, I have manifested your name unto them. You know, I've revealed thy word unto them, for thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. I mean, that's, you know, what is true. Not the ailment, not the sickness. This is how we must operate in the kingdom. Well, it's not that you may not be sick. It's not that that headache may not be there. It's not that, you know, but we don't glorify it, you know, by, or dignify it rather, by admitting to it. You know, we profess healing. That's all we must profess. When you are sick, you need to act like you are healed. That's why Jesus and the disciples, you know, the early church, that's how they did it. They would, you know, tell the person, take up your bed, or even pull them up by the hand or whatever. I mean, because you got to act like you are healed already. You can't lay down all day and say, I'm healed. Well, act like you are healed. Get up already and denounce the sickness. You know, don't lay claim to it and say, I have this, I have that. You don't have that. In fact, God said, look, I won't put any of these things on you. I'll put them upon those that hate you. That's what I told the children of Israel. So rather than you trying to bring it back upon yourself, what God said, I will not put on you. Well, don't do that. You know, let's use the word of God. Now, this goes to every area, not just physical healing. There may be other things that God needs to heal in our lives. Bitter waters, crooked paths, different things, challenges, burdens, and everything that the devil brought upon us. We got to walk with the Lord the same way. To walk with the Lord the same way. Let me give you a few other scriptures. There's a question that the Lord was asking in Jeremiah chapter 8. He said, well, you know, why is it that my people are not healed? Well, why? Are there no physicians there? I mean, it's a metaphor of sorts, you know, that the Lord is using here. Are there no physicians there? Is there no balm in Gilead? I mean, is there no ointment? Is there no medicine? Is there no? It's a metaphor. Then why are you still saying that you're not healed? I mean, don't you have musicians with you? Don't you have medicine with you? Why are you not healed? That's a metaphor. Now, in the kingdom, when I say it this way, is not Jesus the one that healeth us? Does not the scripture say that unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings? Malachi 4:2, like we read yesterday. Then why then are my people not healed? Yeah? Well, they are not healed, perhaps because of Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. My people are destroyed or perish for lack of knowledge. Like this man in the story of this older son, in the story of the prodigal son. He lacked the knowledge that all this stuff was his. And he was still there thinking that the father had to give it to him. That's why I say, it was already yours. But you didn't take it. You know, it was yours. I mean, what else can I do? You know, so in the kingdom, God will praise by principles. There are certain things that God has already done. You know, he's not going to come and do it again. He's already done it. It's just for you to realize how to implement and appropriate those things for yourself. Now, it's not as easy as I'm saying it. It takes practice. It may take years. We heard the testimony of a sister yesterday. Told us it took her about 15 years. And she was trying to figure out, why am I not healed of this thing? You know, and so on and so forth. Now, today, she now understands it's not going to take her 15 years now. Probably won't even take her 15 days. If something come upon her now, she's figured it out. You know, and so we got to figure these things out. Once you figure it out, say, ah, you know, what a marvelous thing that the scales are now falling off of my eyes. So it is important for us to know the things that are freely given us of God. That's what the scripture says. You know, you must know and understand the things that are freely. And knowing, there's something about knowing. You know, knowing is different from just head knowledge. Because, you know, a lot of people know a lot of things, but not everybody knows it in a way that they need to know it or understand it. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. I know maybe even a little bit of context, you know, because he's talking about things that we don't know, that God has prepared for us and so on. You know, so let me read it from, say, verse 9. As it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither had it entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Well, that's what people think. You know, people think, oh, we don't know what God has prepared. Are you kidding me? It's in the scriptures. You know, if that's where you stop and you don't read the next verse, then you will still be in a quandrum of, I don't know, you know, whether it's God's will to heal me or not. He said, yeah, and people think that, well, we don't know what God has prepared. Well, maybe you don't, but God has revealed them to us by his spirit. See, so don't stop at saying, I don't know. Well, go further into saying, well, God has revealed them by his spirit. It's the word of God. The spirit searches the deep things, yea, even the deep things of God, searches all things. You know, what man knows the, you know, spirit of man except the spirit that's inside of him? What man knows the things of God except the spirit of God? So the spirit of God, who knows the things about God, he has revealed those things to us. Now, you have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. These things are already given to us. You know, blessed be our God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. These things are already given to us. We're already blessed with these things. How come then we don't have it? You know, that's the metaphor that God was asking his people in Jeremiah 8. You know, why are you still sick when you have medicine? Is there no medicine there? Are there no physicians there? Why are you still sick? Are not these promises, is not the Bible replete with the promises of healing and all these things that we're talking about? Then why are my people still struggling and not getting what they should have? Well, sometimes lack of knowledge on how to properly apply these things. And sometimes sin consciousness. There's a lot of blockers, you know, unbelief and all these things. We've talked about them. But sin consciousness is another great blocker and makes us think that we don't deserve. You don't deserve. You know, so, you know, well, if you think you don't deserve, then you're not going to get anything. But if you know that even though you did not, plural, I mean past tense, you did not deserve, yet God, through Christ, presented it to you because Christ purchased these things for us, then we need to step into what Christ purchased for us. And we can't, you know, we can't sit there and be saying, you know, that, you know, we don't know. We need to know. He says, look, we speak the things not which the world, I mean, the speech of what man's wisdom teacheth. So read that again in this same chapter we're reading, verse 13 now. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. We speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. Now, the natural mind, you know, cannot receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But we who are spiritual, we understand the things of God. You know, why would you say you don't understand the things of God if you have the Spirit of God? You know, so if we don't have the Spirit of God, if any man have not Spirit of Christ, then he's none of his. But if you have the Spirit of God, then the Holy Spirit teach you all things and show us, you know, that, you know, you these things have been given to you. Read the rest of it. Who had known the mind of the Lord, you know, to tell God what to do and so on. But we have the mind of Christ. So you can see how Paul develops this concept in this text. Starts out by saying, you know, whereas people say that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nobody knows. Whereas people say that, he said, but unto us, these things have been revealed by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And then he develops it more and more that, look, you need to know the things that are freely given to us of the Lord. So you won't be there saying that you don't know when you already had. And if, but if you don't know, it can be a great loss. That's why we must search the scriptures so that we can know. Jesus said himself, search the scriptures so that you can know. Because in the scriptures, there are those that tell you of the things that contain and pertain to me. Paul told the same thing to Timothy. He said, search the scriptures. These scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Now, salvation is everything. Everything about our lives. You know, we being saved from the hand of our enemies may serve God acceptably, you know, with, you know, reverence and fear before him. And God save us from oppression of the devil. You know, Jesus is the one that delivered us from all that. He paid the price. He healed them all, we're told. On and on and on. Now let me talk about, you know, bringing, asking and receiving in a little bit as part of this. This is nothing new. We know this subject, you know, but when you ask, it is important to know that you receive. You know, if you ask and you think you didn't receive, it's kind of like when we were doing the series on how, you know, knowing the purpose of God and so forth, we went into knowing how God speaks to you. Because, you know, you're asking God to speak to you and you're saying God is not speaking. Maybe it's because you are looking in the wrong place or places. So we covered that. It's the same thing here. When we are asking something from God and we think we have not received, maybe it's because we're looking at it in the wrong way. Because Jesus made a point blank statement. In fact, you know, there are, you know, there was a time some years ago. In fact, I remember where I was when the Lord explained this thing to me, and I started quoting it. I just started saying, I was a very young man. Many years ago, I was in a place called Federal School of Science in Lagos. So you might call it a junior college in the United States. maybe equates to that. But the revelation one day hit me like a truck. You know, it's like, ask and it shall be given you. This is Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given you. You know, these are powerful statements. You know, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. But he doesn't stop there. And he says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now that's everyone. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, either Jesus is just blowing smoke here or whatever. Or he's saying the truth. You know, how can he say everyone that asketh, receiveth, if everyone that asketh does not receive? I mean, if not everyone that asks receives, how can Jesus make this statement? Well, everyone that asks receives. You know, why? I thought about it when I was a young man. And he showed it to me that, yeah. See, because Jesus said it, that's exactly the way it is. And you got to find out why you may think that's not the case. See, that's, so I learned in the scriptures, so early young man, I mean, in my life, I learned, you know, to see the word of God as it is. And if things don't align in my life, well, that's on me. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. And did you know that this ask and receive, seek, and you will find, knock, and it will be open to you? I've spoken about it in this platform. It's a self-fulfilling dual prophetic meaning within itself. The word ask is spelled with three letters. A-S-K. I mean, the Lord knows I love acronyms, so he always gives me these acronyms here and there. A-S-K. That's what ask means. But Jesus goes further within the ASK to explain each one of the A and the S and the K. The A is for ask in itself. The S is for seek and the K is for knock. So ask, which is spelled ASK, has three parts to it. There are three ways of getting something from God. It's basically what he's saying here. Ask summarizes the whole thing. But inside of ask, there's the A, there's the S, and there's the K. The A is to ask. But then there's also the S, which is to seek. And then there's always also the K, which is to knock. So maybe you are looking in the wrong places, which is seek. Maybe you are knocking on the wrong doors, which is to knock. But Jesus said, everyone. And so I trained myself to say, well, if everyone receives, who asks, then I know I receive. So I got to look for the thing. You know, it's like if you get a message from Amazon delivery that your package has been delivered, what do you do? You know, your package has been delivered. You have to go and look for it, right? Because either they put it in your front door. You see, now since COVID, they do contactless delivery. They just put it there and send you a photo or something. You know, they don't wait for you to physically come and get it from them. Well, maybe they put it in your mailbox. Maybe they put it outside the door. Maybe they put it under the chair. Maybe they put it behind, you know, the flower thing or something in your front door. You know, but you got to go look for it once you know that it's been delivered. So if you know that you have received something from the Lord, when Jesus said you receive, then you got to look for it. Praise God. So that's the way it works. Whatever you are believing God for, once you have followed all the other principles that we've taught in all the other lessons, then you must assure yourself. That's part of this lesson. The assurance part is what I'm talking about now. the assurance part. You must assure yourself that you have received. He said, you know, we are assured. 1 John chapter 5 verses 14 and 15 talks about, you know, when we are asking anything according to his will, then we have this confidence that he's hearing us. And not only is he hearing us, we are assured that we receive the petitions. Well, if you receive the package, then go look for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you're praying for healing and something, then check it out. The healing is there. Check it out. You know, and so forth. If you're praying for a change in a situation, which God is able to heal the bitter waters, then check it out. It's already happening because the Bible says that everyone asker receives. Well, if everyone asks, receives, then that means I've received. So I got to look for it. And I got to see, and I started, once I learned that scripture, I started using it in my prayers. I would quote it often. I would just say, well, for everyone that asks, I receive it. For everyone that asks, I receive it. And I also use it to try to box God into a corner, even though you can't do that. But, you know, at my level at that time, that's what I thought I was doing. I say, Lord, you said everyone that asks receives. Well, so where is mine? And God might say, well, but I already gave it to you. Yeah, if you already gave it to me, then I got to go look for it, right? Praise God. So you got to claim what is yours. He's already given it. He opens his hands and satisfies the desires of every living thing. What does that mean? That actually, it's not that he going to go after every living thing to give it to them. No. But it's in his hands. You can come and take yours. You know, you open his hand. Like a set a buffet table before you. You come get what you want. He's not always going to chase you down. Sometimes he might. But, you know, he's there for your taking. Come and take it. Hallelujah. Come and take it. There are many times that Jesus will say things like, come. Because you got to come. Even though we know that he's the one that will have to draw us. But at the same time, he'll tell us to come. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You got to come. And I'll give you rest. If you don't come, you may not get that rest. And he will tell him, come. You got to come. And so, whilst we are coming, looking. When I was a young man also, we used to do this thing called treasure hunt. My school, I was in the scripture union. They taught us how to do treasure hunt in the Bible. And, people do natural treasure hunt, but we will do it in the scriptures. And they give you a clue. And it was one of the things that actually helped me to learn a lot of scriptures. And then you'd have to use that clue to find another clue, to find another clue, to find another clue until you find the thing. It taught me how to search the scriptures. And you're looking for something, though. And you got to keep searching until you find, because, you know, there's a promise that you will find. You know, he that seeketh will find. So there's already a promise. So anytime I'm seeking, I know I will find. You know, because the Lord promised that. Now, you got to look in the right places, though. You know, if that gift was delivered to you in the front yard, you cannot go and be looking for it in the backyard. There was even a day that I got a message that the gift was delivered. And then I went to the front yard and it wasn't there. And so, you know, I started to worry. Because, you know, sometimes people go around and try to steal gifts from people's, you know, houses, especially around the holidays, Christmas season and so forth. That, you know, there are some prowlers that go around. If you leave your parcel out too long, somebody might just grab it and go and steal it. For one of my neighbors some years ago told me that happened to him. So I was worried as to whether this thing has been taken. because he was, I'm told he was delivered, but I can't see it. So I started to investigate how this thing might have been delivered. Now, these are lessons. I mean, these are natural things that happen. At the time when I was going through that, I wasn't thinking about scripture or anything. I was just thinking that, oh, I got to find this thing. But again, it applies to these things that we're talking about. I eventually found out that it is true that the thing was delivered, but that this time around, they actually used the United States Postal Service to deliver it. And I didn't know. They put it in my mailbox. It didn't quite fit in the regular mailbox, so they left me a key inside the mailbox to open another one that was a little bit bigger. And that's how I got it. You know, but I had to look for it because in my mind, I'm convinced that this thing has been delivered, but I can't see it. So I got to look for it. And that's the lesson that I'm trying to get across. When you know that you've already been healed, you got to look for that healing. Praise God. You know, anything else that we are believing God for, it's the same thing. You know that when you ask, you receive. So you look for it. Make sure that you have it and you are not missing anything. You know, sometimes we're missing something. What am I missing here? You know, sister was giving us a testimony yesterday of, you know, and she came to the Lord and said, why am I not here? What am I missing here? You know, another sister was giving us a testimony and say, well, stuff was happening to her. She would say, what am I missing here? Well, that's an important thing, you know, strategy to say, look, what am I missing here? What am I not getting? You know, because you know God's word cannot fail. So on his part, you know he said so, and it is so. So you've got to figure out why you are not seeing it so. Say, Lord, help me to see. What am I missing here? You know, if you do that, it will actually show you, you know. So sometimes God wants us to seek also, because seek means you got to search for something, you know, and the scripture says, thou verily art a God that hideth thyself, you know. Sometimes, you know, God may want us to go into a little exercise of treasure hunt, you know, and in that exercise, you know, he may hide something just so that you might seek after him. Isaiah chapter 45 verse 15 tells us, verily, thou art a God that hideth thyself. What in the world does that mean? You know, so, you know, God doesn't always reveal all his hand, you know. Reveal his hand, you know, people that play, you know, these card games, they don't reveal your hand. God doesn't always reveal everything. Sometimes he hides it. In fact, Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us there are some things that God hid or hides that he doesn't tell us. But there are some things he tells us. He says the hidden things belong unto the Lord our God. But the revealed things belong unto us. So there are some things. But even when he hides the thing, what does he want you to do? Well, he wants you to seek. Because Proverbs 25 and verse 2 tells us, and this is an important one for us to read. You know, God may hide something, but he wants you to seek for it. Now, we know that this scripture means several things, but let me show one thing that it may mean. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing. And that's a deep subject. You know. But it is the honor of kings to search out the matter. Well, are you a king then? You know, one time, Pilate asked Jesus, well, are thou a king then? And Jesus said, well, for this purpose I was born. Yeah, it's not that, you know, someday I just become a king. No. For this purpose, I was born, and I am here to witness to the truth. Well, are you a king then? Well, let's see if we are kings, because it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search it out. So, are we kings then? Well, maybe. Let's find out. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, let's see what the Lord says, whether we are kings, or whether we shall be kings, or whether we already are kings. Praise the Lord. So, Jesus appears to John, you know, on the Isle of Patmos, and tells him many things. Well, here's what he says, you know, he's introducing the person who sent him here. He said, well, from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, you know, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, verse 6 of Revelation 1, and has made us kings. Not that he will make us. At that time, John was still alive. He hadn't died, so he wasn't writing from heaven. He was on earth, you know, saying that God has made us kings. So are we kings then? Well, you answer it for yourself. God has made us kings. And he has made us priests. Hallelujah. Also, we jump to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, and you see where John saw a vision of something that made him cry quite a bit, because he saw this book that was in the hand of him that sat on the throne, and he recognized his attention was on that book. Why does this book have seven seals? I mean, he could discern that there were seven seals. He knew it is a book, so the book must have something written inside. But this book looks like it's sealed over by seven times. And so John was waiting for somebody to come, because, you know, somebody made an answer. Who's worthy, you know, to take the book and lose the seals thereof? And, you know, John is looking. Nobody. They look up in heaven, earth, everywhere. No apostle, no prophet, no angel, nobody. So John begins to cry because he wants to know what's inside that book. You know, this is a vision in which he's participating. And so somebody tells him, it's okay, John. We got the answer for you. You know, and so he's looking. He said, wow. So finally, he saw the shadowy figure that steps out. He said, well, the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. So he's looking for the lion. Where's the lion? But when he looks, what he sees was a bloody lamb. Yeah, and that's how Jesus got the victory. You know, a bloody lamb. Well, so, but here's what happened. When this lamb came and took the book, you know, he says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts, and 24 elders fell before him, having every one of them harps and so forth, full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, and they sang a new song, saying, this is now Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, you know, and hast redeemed us unto God, by thy blood out of every kindred. So we know that all these people who are saying these things, you know, these 24 elders, they are redeemed. They're not some, you know, strange creatures. They're actually human beings that were redeemed. As I say, you have redeemed us out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. These represent all the people of God. And has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Now, these people weren't reigning yet, but they are still in a state of limbo, so to speak. But they know they are going to reign, you know. But they're saying, you have made us priests. Well, so when you are on earth, you already made kings and priests. When you get to heaven, you are made kings and priests, and you are coming back to reign on the earth. That's the sequence. Well, are we made priests and priests? Well, yeah, absolutely. 1 Peter 2 and 9. This was the... Peter was quoting from, you know, Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Because in that Exodus 19, God was telling the children of Israel, you will be a kingdom of priests unto me. Well, but you got to obey my voice and you got to do this and this. Then you will be a kingdom of priests because you are peculiar. I have chosen you, but you must obey my voice. If you will obey my voice indeed, then you will be this and that. Well, Peter is quoting the same thing here in 1 Peter 2, chapter 9. And this is something that we all read. But he's referring to it and say, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Royal means king. You know, royal priesthood is a kingdom of priests. It's the same thing. Kingdom of priests. Well, if you are a king, then you should search out the matter. So sometimes God wants you to search it out, you know, and but go with the search. You must start the search out knowing what you are looking for and also being persuaded that you are going to find it, because that's what Jesus said. He that seeketh, find it, but he wants you to seek. Jesus says, search the scriptures. Well, inside the scripture, there's something. And if you are not going to find it, he wouldn't tell you to go look for it. So when he tells you to go look for it, that means you're going to find it. This is how the Lord has helped me to build my faith throughout my life. I know I'm going to find it. Praise the Lord. Now, do you know that you are going to find it? Well, that's our lesson today. There are many other things I can say on this subject, but let me tell you that this thing is more than this healing and stuff we're talking about. It's more than just physical. It's spiritual. It's everything that we wanted to know. When we talked about, you know, there was a room we did a few months ago at the end of March on the power of God present to heal. We talked about all the things that God can heal. All the four horns, you know. Those four horns, they are described also, you know, the things that pummel the children of God. You know, Isaiah 58 text talks about it when he was telling us how we can use our fasting to break these four things. Zechariah called it, he said, I saw four horns, then I saw four carpenters. Well, Isaiah says, well, these four horns are the bands of wickedness, the heavy burdens, oppressing and oppression spirits, oppression and oppressed spirits, and numerous evil yokes. We dealt with these things. Four things. Bands of wickedness. God can heal them. Heavy burdens. God can heal that too. Oppression. God can heal that too. And evil yokes. Isaiah 58 and 6. It's that. All the things. This covers everything. Just like Acts 10:38. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Didn't matter what that oppression was. Whether the oppression was through wickedness, whether it was through sickness, whether it was through heavy burdens, whether it was through yokes and things. Well, Jesus went about healing them. And he does the same today. So, let's arm ourselves with two things out of the room today. Number one, as we spoke 2 weeks ago, God is faithful. His word never changes. It's not up and down, yo-yo here and there. He said, every word that asketh receives. I'm going to use that in a prayer in a couple of minutes. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds, and to everyone that knocks, it shall be opened. And these are definite promises. Not, well, seek, perhaps you will find. Knock, perhaps it will be open to you. Ask, perhaps you will get it. He didn't say any such thing. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you for everyone. And he qualifies it again. Everyone. And what is it that you are asking from God today? Well, let's ask together. There's another promise that Jesus gave, that if any two of you shall ask. Now, these promises, we have to act upon them. Any two of you shall ask, you know, concerning whatsoever. Yeah, as long as you agree on it. So how we do it? Matthew 18 and verse 19. He said, again, I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, shall be done of my Father which is in heaven. Look, let's put God to the test. He said, look, prove me now here, we say the Lord, in the book of Malachi 3. Well, let's prove the Lord. He has said this thing, you know, dare to believe the word of God and challenge it and put it to action. You know, let me give you this testimony before I pray and then wrap it up. There was one day I literally did this thing, even though I knew it was figurative, you know, as when you say as touching, well, it just means concerning, you know, if you read other versions, concerning anything you ask, that's what it means. But I took it literally that if I touch something, just because King James says touching, I said, well, what if I don't have any other translation? This one says as touching. I said, okay, fine. So I can actually touch the thing. So one day I was coming back from an overseas trip with Pastor Roland, and we went to the Philippines, and we got to one place from Manila to somewhere, I mean, from the village to Manila, catch another flight from Manila to Los Angeles and so on. So we finished, we got to Manila, and then I wasn't even paying attention to how much layover would be there by the time we got to Los Angeles. And then from Los Angeles, catch another flight to Phoenix. I said, oh. And then when I looked, it was like, oh my goodness. There was like an 8-hour layover. I'm like, 8 hours after all these long flights, you're going to lay over. And I mean, even if you drive, you'll be in Phoenix before 8 hours. 8-hour layover. I said, I can't do that. What are we going to do? You know, there was another flight. So I looked. There was another flight, but it looked as if they knew that you won't have enough time to catch it. It was too close, because international connections like that have to be, you got to have enough time. It was too close. You come in, you know, early, you come in, and you got to go to the international thing, you got to go to the domestic side to catch that domestic flight. And there was just not enough time. So they put us on the other flight, and there was the only other one going to Phoenix then was 8 hours later. I'm like, oh my goodness. After all this tiresome thing we've been through, we're going to wait under 8 hours. So I'm looking, and I said, well, there's this flight, but it's too close. It's only about 45 minutes. You need a couple of hours. So I said to my friend, I said, you know, so I quote this scripture. I said, you know, I said, Brother Roland. I said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, well, you know, scripture says, if any two of you touch anything, I open up my laptop, I find the flight. You know, I knew it doesn't literally mean touch. I knew it means agree concerning something. But I say, hey, will you believe with me? I'm going to touch this flight. He said, yep. So I open up the thing. I find the thing. I, you know, enlarge it so we can touch it. I said, this flight that they say we cannot make, let's touch it. And they are going to make it. I bring it up, put my hand on it, put your hand here, let's touch it. I touch it, we'll make that flight. It sounded silly, but I guarantee you, you know, if you can believe God, dare to believe God's word, you'll do it. Okay, so we get to Los Angeles, and I've got all kinds of delays. Because when you come in through an international flight, you go through all kinds of razzmatazz. You get anywhere. You got to go through this, customs, that, this. And by the time we get through it, then all of a sudden, you know, they put some police forces there as well with dogs and everything. You come through that, they're sniffing, they're adding more delay. And I'm like, we got to catch that flight, you know. And, you know, when you come into the U.S., you got to collect your bags and then check them in again. It doesn't matter, you know, where you're going, unless that's your last, unless that first entry is your last entry. So I will collect the bag. By the time we do all of that, we're running very close. And then we hear this announcement. They're calling our flight. Last call, you know, last call, this and this. And these people are delaying, police, dogs, this, that, you know. Meanwhile, I'm trying to get through, you know. And then I said, well, we're going to make it because we already touched it. So then they make an announcement. We're still trying to get through. And, you know, you really can't rush. You know, the police are there. They are going to hold you there and do whatever. They don't care whether you're going to miss your flight. That's none of their concern. Try to catch my flight. Don't care about that. But finally, when we get through there, we're trying to rush to get there. And then they make this announcement. And they were not on that flight, actually. We had to, you know, stand by. They put us on standby. Because we were not booked for that particular, we were booked for the one that's 8 hours later. And so we had to do all of that even when we got there. I said, put us on this flight. I said, you can't make it. Just put us on it anyway. Well, you'll be on standby. So we don't know if you can make it. So we get through. Cut long story short. So they make this announcement. I'm hearing the flight number because I know where we're going. They're looking for two persons. Back in those days, they used to do that. They would call, you know, so-so-so person, your flight is leaving. Last call. They called out two names. I don't know what name they were. Your call is waiting. You know, I said to Brother Lan, those people will not show up. Those are our two seats. I get up to the gate. They're closing the doors. As we're running to the gate, they're closing. They thought we are those two people that they are calling. They call their name and say, are you such and such? I said, no. I said, but they are not coming. The agent looked like me. Funny. I said, they're not coming. Those two seats are ours. They called again and they're closing the doors. Actually, they close the doors already. They close that door that you go into the jetway. And so I said to them, they're not coming. Those two, they're not coming. Open the door. Those two seats are for us. So they open the door and we go in there. Praise the Lord. Yeah, more things, some more drama happened when we got inside the plane, but nonetheless, so to show you that if you take the word of God, literally speaking, I took the word literally speaking, I touched the flight, I said, that flight, we're going on it. My friend said, well, yeah, absolutely. We agree on it. That's it. You know, if you dare to believe the word of God, take it literally. You know, just believe God. My goodness. You can see the wonders of God. So I'm going to pray for you in this room today. Father, I pray for everyone that has heard the word of God today. Hallelujah. Amen. We've heard the word. The word has been declared. We've been encouraged to believe God. You've given us promises that everyone that asketh receives. It may be healing that you are asking for. It may be direction. It may be deliverance. It may be straightening out some crooked things. Whatever it is. And Jesus also said, if you can get one more person to agree with you. Now, of course, that has to be a person of faith. Don't get any person that doesn't believe anything to pray with you. Because they'll wear down your faith. But I am here to believe with you today. I guarantee you, I believe God. Now, so whatever it is that you have, that you desire of God, well, let's believe God together. Father, I believe with my brother and my sister here, you said all you need is one more person that believe with you. And you said if they can agree as touching that thing, you'll do it. Well, I agree with them. Especially those that need deliverance from the oppression of the devil, either by sickness, you know, either by other wickedness and other things, burdens and yokes. I pray today, you said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Again, you said in your word, Lord, that all things that you shall ask in prayer, Matthew 21:22, believing you shall receive. So Lord, we ask today, believing, and we receive in Jesus' name. And now that you know that you receive, go look for it. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, because you've made it simple. The devil is the one that tries to make it complicated, or our religious systems try to make it complicated, or our minds try to make it complicated. It's very simple. And may you show us the simplicity. He said, he giveth understanding to the simple. Make it simple. Lord, show us the simplicity of how faith works. Take God as his word. He said it. I believe it. I settle it. Bless everyone, every listener. Everyone that's listening present at the moment and listen by replay later on, bless our hearts, everybody. And those speakers that will be speaking after me, sharing their thoughts on this topic, bless us through them as well. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.